We're still on the sin and trespass offerings. There's a ceremony that defined both the sin and the trespass offering. And it's where the person that was making the offering the person that made the offering, no matter which of the animals was offered, first of all, he laid hands forcefully on the animal. And the following prayer was repeated while the laying on of hands was taking place. I entreat thee, O Yahweh, I have sinned, I have done perversely, I have rebelled, and I have committed trespasses. Now, and he named then, as that was going on, he named each of the trespasses that had come to mind. And this is a public ceremony now. But I return now in total repentance, and let this animal's death be for my atonement. But by the act of laying on of hands, he identified himself with the offering and found that only by the grace of God was he not killed. And that was the essence of that sacrifice. He had to understand that because of the sin and the trespass, his death was the penalty. But the animal took the place. Now, what is going on? Why is this so important?
One, it's a picture for us. The picture shows the reality if you don't look at it as just something he's doing, but something God has.
Yeah, and it that's the whole idea. Each of these, the ancient saints, they saw in that offering Messiah. But they also saw their death. Now this is as big as it gets. And this is why there's no, everything that happened from Adam all the way through Christ was a picture for us of some aspect of what sanctification is. And sanctification, it's the same word that we use for saint and holy, it's hagios. And it means that by your death you have apprehended the holiness that's manifested in Jesus Christ, because he now is your only life. And again, that the sin offering, let's go to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Starting in verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Notice that the hymn is, let's just read it without the italics, okay? For if we be dead, we shall also live. If we suffer, we shall also reign. If we deny he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, the idea that he cannot deny himself is the power of the way. That's why exhorting one another daily, while all these things that community should be, is so critical, because you always have to return to that predicate. He cannot deny himself. And that takes you out of the picture, because it's a faithful saying. If we're dead, we shall live with him.
So when you say exhort one another daily, you don't mean people be critical and judgmental, you know,
ass kicking.
What is exhort? We've talked about this many times. Exhort really means that you are, it's to move someone or something from one state of being to another. And you remove, exhorting means to remove from time and space, to go back to your home, the New Jerusalem, the mercy seat. So he is always, he's not moving back and forth. He's on the mercy seat. Now the scriptures are clear. It says, as he is, so are we in this world. As he is on the mercy seat. So are we in this world. We are on the mercy seat with him. But what takes us off that mercy seat? What makes us fall from that strong city?
Us.
Opinions? Ideas?
Judgment?
Judgment? Anything that brings you back into the picture. Anytime you think the position you're in should be different than it is. Because that's the only way you can be converted and become as that little child. The little child, the technon, the darling infant, had no capacity to be aware of himself. But boy, does that happen. You know, it happens somewhere between 18 months and 2 years, but people call it the terrible twos. And they call it the terrible twos for a reason. Because at that point, the child becomes a con man. The moment they're aware of themselves, then they're aware of you as separate. And they understand that you feed them, clothe them, whatever it is, but then they begin the manipulation process very, very quickly. And if any, I'm sure you've seen it. Can anybody remember the earliest that started for a child?
Before two?
I can. It's not, each child is somewhat different.
Yeah.
I mean, Sydney still is in that place.
You mean Shannon?
I mean, huh?
Shannon.
Shannon. I mean Shannon, not Sydney. Sydney's not in that place.
She's in the other place.
She's in the other place with us.
Yeah.
Orlando's, he's sort of kind of on the edge. Anyway, we're back in Timothy. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And then remember, we studied this word, study. It doesn't say it's a peristeme. It should be yield yourself completely. Yield yourself completely to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now that word of rightly dividing is the term, remember, it's the two-edged sword that was used to flay the innards of the animal that was sacrificed to find out whether the inward parts met met perfection also. If the inward parts didn't meet that perfection, you remember what happened? They took the carcass of the dead animal that couldn't be used for anything, and it was taken by a cart down to the Dead Sea, put on that cart, and then a millstone was tied around it so that it would be buried in the depth of the sea. Now that's why it says, if you offend one of these my little ones, it would be better for you that a millstone were tied around your neck and you were dumped into the Dead Sea. Now, when if you offend, the real meaning of offend there is if you cause the little one to return to self-seeking. In other words, if you preach self-realization in the name of God, then you're causing an offense to that little one. And it would be better for you that a millstone were tied around your neck and you be buried in the Dead Sea. Now how, every time when a person comes to you with an issue and you try to solve the problem for them, what are we doing? Well, everybody gives their opinion about this is what you should do, this is what you should do, no, you should do this, this is what you should do. What are you doing in that? Well, I won't go to that today. So that's the meaning of the rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto the more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker or cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. That's why he is come in the flesh. That's why the translations are so evil, because they say he did come, and so the people believe he did come, and he will come someday. But it's only those that are with the Holy Spirit that can say he is come in the flesh. And if he is come in the flesh, what possible problem could you have? If you think there's a problem, then you've fallen from a strong city. If you think if there's any reason you have to return to cause and effect, you've fallen from the strong city. If you judge your brother or sister, you're fallen from the strong city. For someone you haven't forgiven, you're fallen from the strong city. Now this Saturday and Sunday, it's Yom Kippur, right? Mm-hmm. We have to send a memo out.
I sent the link. I'd send a reminder.
Anyway. Yeah, with the schedule.
Yeah.
But what's happened is, in that one off, and that the deal with the scapegoat, that takes all the other offerings and puts them down into that one issue. And the understanding of the scapegoat. That's why it's so critical that Jesus was baptized in the Yom Kippur. Because John saw him coming, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," except he didn't say lamb, he said goat. "Behold, the goat of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And as the high priest was sending the scapegoat out into the wilderness to take away the sins of Israel, Jesus was being baptized to take away the sins of the world. And that's why we have this incredible ceremony on Yom Kippur, the Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre just means the absolution of vows. So all the vows that you've made, all the promises you've made, all the agendas you have, which are in fact vows, they are declared, well, they have to be confessed first, and then they're declared null and void as the dust of the earth. So that you can then live that moment in innocence as the small child, because you have, that's all of it has to do with taking away the sin of the world, taking away the trespass of the world, and living in that state of innocence, staying on the mercy seat, nothing taking you away. What?
I just caught this thing about taking away the sin of the world and everything else too, but I was just, when you said sins, it just sparked that whole thing of he takes away you.
Yeah.
He takes it away. And it's, well, it's dead.
Until you resurrected from the dead.
Mm-hmm. And that's the majesty of that moment.
Amen. All right. Well, I don't think we're staying on, but there's a whole issue. Again, it's settled that sin offering is for who you are. Trespass offering is for what you do. There are two kinds of trespasses. There's trespasses against God, and trespasses against your fellow man, which in, all of them are in truth trespasses against God. But a trespass against God, you are repaid at the valuation of the priest, whatever the trespass against your neighbor costs him, plus 20%. Now, this is why Romans 5, many people call it the much more chapter, because it talks about this much more, and the much more has to do with that 20%. And that's what we're going to take a look at now, because Romans 5 just takes everything we've been talking about repentance and sin and trespass, and puts it into a few sentences. So go to Romans 5.
There.
Well, let's start in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience or steadfast endurance, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet enemies, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, perhaps, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's Hooper instead of us. Much more then. So this is the first much more. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And that his life is the operative word. And it's much more. You gain much more than you could ever even apprehend. But it's you are saved by his life, there, because you died. He is now your only self. No longer this being that you've invented or the Antichrist invented as you, called you, because you are dead. Now you are saved as a continuum by his life in you. But don't take it back. That's why this strange little scripture in Revelation, but he was had a deadly head wound. But then he is resurrected from that deadly head wound. How? We are the ones that give him life. We are the ones that provide his resurrection. We do that when we, in any way, for any purpose, resurrect ourselves. That's when the trespass offering comes into being. The sin offering is permanent, except for that idiot that has the capacity to resurrect himself from the dead. But you're the one that resurrects him.
That goes right to your will. That's the
illusion of your will. It's really the will of Satan. You're confronted with any issue where you think that you have to return to that base. You have to return to cause and effect. You have to return to leaning on your own arm of understanding. You have to return to all of the things that Adam, and as you did. All right. We're still going. Amen?
One more thing I saw here is about being in Yom Kippur. It's like number 11 talked about the atonement. And it just is so clear that he is the atonement.
Amen.
By his own person.
Okay, wherefore, if by one man sin entered into the world, again, if Eve ate of the tree, Adam should have exhorted her. Because it was only when Adam ate of the tree that the human race fell. And it was this little slight trick, this little teeny trick. God said, don't eat of the tree that gives you the knowledge of good and evil. Satan said, don't eat of it or touch it. It's by touching it you have dominion over it. So by the act of that one little subtle lie, he seduced Eve into taking the wanting of the knowledge of good and evil is really at the core of it. The wanting of to be as God. And that event altered the universe. It altered you forever. And you can always say, well, how could that one person back there affect me? I didn't do anything. My response to that is always, if your grandfather had died at birth, where would you be? So does anybody have any doubts about the power of the fall to the rest of the human race? To wanting to be as God. Judging for yourself, good and evil. What's the best path? What's the worst path? As opposed to abandonment.
Well, that seems to be where it settles, is right there. judging good and evil. And maybe that's everything.
It is.
Because nothing else is mentioned or ever even talked about.
Because everything else falls from that.
Yeah.
Flows from it. That's it. That's what led to the need for self-realization. Who could possibly think self-realization was sin? Well, every word of the Bible says it.
Yeah, that's where that two-year-old loses innocence and begins to do that process.
Right. All right. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and by death sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure, or type, or parable of him that is to come, or was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one man that sinned, so, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that where the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Of just those two sentences, which is all that matters.
And then, of course, then the next few verses cover what happens when you dead. You die. You'd be buried. Mm-hmm. If you weren't buried when you were baptized, you weren't baptized. You just got wet. Or sprinkled, or however. But death is death. You can't ever use this thing again. That's a good place to stop. All right, take a big guy.